This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Trapped victims after part of a glacier in the Himalayas broke off Sunday morning that slammed into two hydroelectric plants. At least 9 people were killed and 140 were missing when the Nanda Devi Glacier snapped. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's corruption trial resumed on Monday, with his lawyers giving their formal response to the indictment. The trial resumes 43 days before Israel is due to hold its fourth election in 2 years. George Shultz, the U.S. Secretary of State who survived bitter infighting in President Ronald Reagan's administration to help forge a new era in American-Soviet relations and bring on the end of the Cold War, died Saturday at the age of 100 in Stanford, California. Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady won his 7th championship on Sunday in a dominating 31-9 performance against the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. This is USA Radio News.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with a free subscription from Avid Market Highlights Report. With gold prices hitting new highs in 2020, investors are just beginning to push into junior gold miner stocks. And we want to send you research that can position you to win with this red-hot gold stock opportunity in the market. Text WIN to 48542 for more info on gold miner investment opportunities now with your free subscription to Market Highlights Report. Text the word WIN to 48542 and have this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the winningest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word WIN to 48542. Text WIN to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text WIN to 48542.
The GOP in Wyoming is leveling harsh charges against their representative Liz Cheney. USA Radio News' Jeremy Scott reports.
The Wyoming Republican Party has voted to censure Representative Cheney and called for her resignation. The third highest-ranking member of House Republican leadership tells Fox News Sunday she is not going to resign.
Our most important duty is to the Constitution. And as I've explained and will continue to explain, the oath that I took to the Constitution compelled me to vote for impeachment, and it doesn't bend to partisanship. It doesn't bend to political pressure.
She also said there are some false assumptions making the rounds.
People in the party are mistaken. They believe that BLM and Antifa were behind what happened here at the Capitol. That's just simply not the case. It's not true.
Cheney says there's a lot of work to do to regain trust in the party because
people have been lied to.
From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
Cheney is the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. This is USA Radio News.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear. Because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The 2020 NFL season officially ended Sunday with Super Bowl 55 in Tampa, Florida. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki has more.
For the second time in franchise history, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are Super Bowl champions, defeating the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday 31-9. The Bucs defense keeping the NFL's top offense out of the end zone for the first time all season. Tampa Bay head coach Bruce Arians became the oldest coach to win a Super Bowl and said his players deserved all the credit.
This really belongs to our coaching staff and our players. This is your trophy. I didn't do a thing. You guys won this game. All right? You came together as a band of brothers and you made it happen. So proud of all of you.
Bucs quarterback Tom Brady found longtime target tight end Rob Gronkowski for 2 touchdowns in the first half, giving them their record-breaking 14th postseason score. Brady took home more records in the night, winning his 7th Super Bowl title and his 5th Super Bowl MVP, both the most all-time.
I'm so proud of all these guys out here. Everything we dealt with all year. We had a rough month in November, but BA had all the confidence in us.
The team had a lot of confidence. We came together at the right time.
That audio courtesy of CBS. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Because of limited seating due to the pandemic, $6,200 was the average ticket price for the game on Sunday. It was larger than the majority of average Super Bowl price tags over the past 10 years. Super Bowl 56 will be played February 6th at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. That's about 10 miles southwest of Los Angeles. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America. A happy Monday to you. Good to have you with us. We got it through the weekend in more ways than one. You know, for those of us that were engaged with the Super Bowl 55, you know, it was a good game. You know, as expected, I thought, and I think we're going to find out later on, you know, Mahomes, you know, I had questioned his 100% level. I mean, he's a great player. There's no question about it. And there's no question that Tom Brady and the Bucks played an outstanding game. They worked a plan. They kept it simple. And the talent of that team all came together, and it was overwhelming for the Chiefs. And when I mention about Mahomes, it's not to make any excuses or anything like that, and certainly he'd be the last one to offer any. You know, it was just that they went through a you know, they just couldn't quite get their plan working, no matter what they tried to do. You know, the Bucks had an answer for them. They seemed to keep it simple. And, you know, like I said, it was a good game for, you know, for I think for people just to, if nothing else, to get away and offer a little bit of relief from, you know, the environment that we've been dealing with, whether it was COVID, even though there were some, you know, 20,000, 25,000 fans in the stands, and there could have been a lot more. And you heard the average ticket price, you know, for a Super Bowl ticket, because here it had been, you know, so long, and I'm sure many people must have paid even more than the face price of that ticket, because that's the nature. That's what happens, you know, with Super Bowl games such as this. You know, I think overall for the fan, you know, it was good to have a respite. And this is what sports does for us. It gives us a break from dealing with whatever it is that, you know, all the political stuff that's going on. You know, you listen to the Sunday talk shows and you just can't believe that we're going through another impeachment. You hear, you know, the news of COVID and, of course, you know, the political speak of people blaming other people again, you know, and you know that's the case. It's always going to be the case. It was them that did it. And right now it is the Democrats who have the bully pulpit. They've had the support of the mainstream media for a long time. And, you know, we're in the mess that they have created. And, of course, they can't help themselves and take any responsibility. It's easier to blame. But getting back to the Super Bowl, you know, outside of the game itself, of course, the general tradition is, hey, you got to look at the commercials. Got to talk about the commercials and that. Amazing now that I remember in the days when, you know, the Super Bowl commercials were, you know, they thought it was $1 million was outlandish for a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl, but it's become, you know, such a formidable landscape for, you know, creative talent to be exposed and ideas to be worked out, and especially with these kind of budgets. This year, the average spot was about $5.5 million to air. And some of the commercials didn't disappoint. I'll tell you, for me, I could watch, you know, the entire halftime, you know, could have been filled with just the Toyota spot. That story of, you know, the 13-time Paralympic gold medalist Jessica Long. Wow. I mean, how do you come away from watching that and not have tears on your face? And you know, in addition to, and of course, you know, my life on stance, my stance on life, I should say, is that, you know, we choose life over death. And here's this young girl who is adopted and becomes an amputee. And, you know, the family that received her were so excited. They adopted her. They were excited to, you know, see what God was going to do with this young girl. They didn't see her as a disabled individual. They saw her as a possibility, and she grew up in that kind of environment. And look, she goes on to become this, you know, gold medalist swimmer. And to watch her in the water and to see how she has developed. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this spot, I believe, was the best spot that we could have seen. And uplifting at a time when, you know, there's so much contention happening in our country today. The rank bitterness that's taken place. The things that are not edifying, that do not build us up. But when you hear of stories like Jessica Long, I think it goes a long way, if I can say, in restoring hope in America and its citizens. And it neutralizes this bitterness that's taking place, and it puts things into perspective. That it is about, it's about people, it's about every one of the citizens, it's about the potential that they hold, regardless of, you know, if the legs have been amputated or some other seemingly disability that may be obvious to others. But you know, you have these exceptional stories that are there for us for the taking, to be blessed, to see them rise above, you know, rise above the challenges that are put before him. And it reminds us of, you know, the gift of life and the tenacity we have as created beings made in the image of God. We have no idea. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Joe Montana talked about, you know, the stories that are yet to be told and the stars that are yet to be seen, the plays that are yet to be made. I mean, this is what is before us. And when you have a free America, stories like this can be told and can be realized, as opposed to being involved in some of these oppressive governments whose idea is to, you know, just gather people together and put them in, you know, in camps to re-educate them, or, you know, to harvest their organs, or one thing or another. I mean, this is real stuff that's happening around our world. Or, you know, one time very successful and economically, you know, affluent countries whose citizens are eating out of the back of trash trucks. You know, but here in America, up to now, we've had this opportunity. We've provided this type of freedom that's available to people here. This is why they want to come here. And then they come here and they see what's going on and they go, what's happening? You know, we left a country for the kind of stuff that's on display here. But if we're not going to hold to the better angels that are within us, I believe, which our founding fathers recognized, well, we need the Constitution, and we need law enforcement. We need law and order, because our better angels are not always on display. You know, we're going to act out and be less than what we would want to be. And sometimes, you know, when you find yourself in those moments where you're less than you want to be, you question, you say, how could I can't believe that was me. I can't believe it was me that did that. But the fact of the matter is that this is what we're capable of doing when we are contentious and we're thinking only about ourselves instead of the greater good. And again, this is why I insist that we have got to return to first principles, ladies and gentlemen. First principles of why this country is great, why its people are great. That's what we must return to, and I believe that's something that we can truly unify. And our thanks to the story of Jessica Long and for Toyota for reminding us of her great story.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that the unemployment rate for homeless veterans was twice the national average? And without proper shoes, it's hard to get a job? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. People from all over the country helped us with our annual Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Shoes and Socks for Homeless Veterans. There was a time this summer where we believed that probably it wouldn't be successful because of the pandemic, but decided to go ahead and do it anyway. We reached out in the local community and on the various radio shows that I'm on, ask for their support. In a little over 3 weeks, we received 400 pairs of shoes and over 1,000 pairs of socks for homeless veterans so they can go out and look for a job and have a decent pair of shoes to wear. We at Songs and Stories for Soldiers and all the 400-plus soldiers who will receive these shoes and socks say thank you for your generosity. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
Hi, I'm Don Shank, bringing you today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages. This new year is bringing on a new face of world missions, and it's a hairy one. We're looking for men to join the Tide Yearbeard Challenge and stop shaving for a whole year. This challenge is meant to raise awareness and support for the Tide Ministry. Long beards draw attention, and the Tide has benefited from that attention. Through the Yearbeard campaign, these hairy guys will each have a goal that will help with more airtime for the Tide Ministry's radio programs, broadcasting local languages around the world to help connect people with Jesus. Participants in the Yearbeard Challenge can become hairy missionaries by signing up to grow out their beards for 1, 3, 6, or all 12 months. To learn more about how you can join other missions-minded men in raising awareness and support for the Tide Ministry by putting away your razor, visit yearbeard.org. That's yearbeard.org.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
Hey, it's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned, we live in a free country as it stands right now, but some of those freedoms are deteriorating. And we need people to take a stand. Yes, it requires, it demands courage to stand up for that which you believe in. If you are a constitutionalist, you know, there's a lot of force against this because, look at, if, you know, think about this, and this is what I was, you know, thinking about over the weekend, you know, wondering, gosh, how did we get here? You know, what is happening? You know, we talk about the deep state and these lever pullers that are happening in the shadows, these unelected officials. And I think it's deeper than even that we can consider, because this is happening at a globalist level. I don't believe even the communist Chinese could do what they're doing if it wasn't supported by an outside agency that's bigger and that has enveloped, that has been able to find a way to even get control of the levers of power within our government, whether we're talking about the free media, whether we're talking about, you know, big business, corporate America, all this stuff. And we can talk about how greed has played a role in this, but I believe it's much more nefarious than what we can imagine. I mean, when you think about the lies that we are told that we're supposed to believe in, I you know, it just doesn't settle for me. This is why this show is so, you know, just so committed to pursuing the truth, no matter where it leads. And this is a tough challenge, because people that you would expect, or organizations or institutions that you would expect, that would be the boundaries, that would be those bumper guides, you know, to make sure that we did get the truth, they're missing in action. There's no bumpers anymore. There's no lines. There's no demarcations and first principles that they're holding to. They're all in, and they're in and pulled into this vortex of deception that have us all questioning, you know, what is going on here. So I think it's much more diabolical than the deep state or anything that we can imagine as to what and who is behind this. Just like with all this stuff going on, you know, why are we impeaching Donald Trump? Come on. After all the money that they've spent and all the resistance that they spent against this administration. Well, over the weekend, one of the highlights here was an interview that Chris Wallace had with Rand Paul. Chris Wallace is who you know he is. I mean, he's obvious. He's fully exposed. He's all in. He's no longer a reporter. He's more of a commentator. And so I say that by introduction of his interview with Rand Paul. Listen.
This is the case that the Democratic House managers will make before the Senate this next week. They will note that Mr. Trump tweeted his followers a number of tweets, but one of them to come to a big protest on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild, he wrote. And then they will play videos of what happened that day, what he said, how they reacted. We made our own compilation of those, including some clips that are circulating on the internet. Take a look, Senator.
We fight. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
Senator, you talk about other people who have said things, but, you know, there had been weeks of misrepresentations about the election. Then he called people to come to Washington. Then he talks about fighting like hell. People in the crowd are talking about going to the Capitol, and then they demand to find Speaker Pelosi and to hang Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States. Is that not incitement for insurrection?
I don't condone any of the language, and like I say, I opposed philosophically and voted against overturning the election. However, I think you're going to see the Trump defense play video of Maxine Waters telling crowds to mob Trump administration in restaurants and attack them. They'll probably show clips of Cory Booker saying, get up in their face of these congresspeople. You'll probably see comments from Representative Omar wishing and celebrating the violence that happened to me when I had six ribs broken and part of my lung removed. I think you're going to see all of this, and people are going to have to judge for themselves. Are we going to impeach and potentially criminally prosecute people for political speech when they get, say, get up and fight for your country, let your voices be heard? Has nobody in this country heard of figurative speech? You can argue that his position was wrong and that it was misguided. I accept all of that. But if you're going to criminalize his speech, you have to do it with the same standard. You can't just criminalize Republican speech and ignore all the Democrats who have incited violence. Look at the mayor of Seattle. She went on and on about this being a summer of love. Kamala Harris went forward and said, we should bail out these violent protesters. One of them has gotten out three times, committed crimes three times, including cracking the skull, fracturing the skull, and causing a brain injury after Kamala Harris advocated for getting him out of prison. So the thing is we can't just have a double standard. Both parties have to be treated the same. Okay. I think Democrats had any bit of self-reflection, they would be saying this is a really terrible idea.
Hang on 1 second. Let's go ahead and stop that for just a moment. You know, what Rand Paul lays out is a case for reason to say, all right, here's what's going on. And he could have gone further and talked about Steve Scalise being shot down, you know, and almost murdered there. And even what happened to Gabby Giffords, that the rhetoric in the political environment and rancor has gotten so toxic that we're, you know, this is what's happening. And of course, when you have, you know, the summer of love and mob rule and mob agitation taking place, are we surprised that we've gotten to this point? But Chris Wallace doesn't want to present that because he comes in with a fixed agenda. Let's go ahead and pick it up from there.
All right. Let's talk about the other issue, which is the one that you raised, I guess, a week and a half ago, which is whether this whole procedure, this whole trial is constitutional. You offered a motion contending it is not because you said a former president, a president who has left office, cannot be the subject of a Senate trial. The other side argues that under that standard, a president could abuse his power, quit at the last minute, and could not be held accountable by the Senate for, obviously, if it's a legal crime, he could be, but for a political crime, the Senate would be unable to touch him under your standard.
I think that argument ignores the fact that, yes, the president can be prosecuted, and if they think he incited a riot or an insurrection, which is such an overstatement and such a conclusion without any sort of presentation of evidence, all the left-wing media just concludes it. But the thing is, yes, they can take him to court, they can take him to trial and do it. I think he has suffered under public opinion, his numbers are greatly reduced, and so I think there's all kinds of punishment. But we have to look, we've had a country for 250 years, and every other Congress thought it was unwise to keep, you know, going after an ex-president. Constitutional scholars have said that the Constitution says you impeach and disqualify. If the person isn't there to impeach, you can't do either one of them. And so there are constitutional experts.
But
that say
Senator Paul,
also before my colleagues,
Senator Paul, that's not quite true. If I may, in 1876. The then Secretary of War, William Belknap, serving under Ulysses S. Grant, was about to be impeached for accepting bribes. He raced to the White House and resigned, but the House impeached him anyway, and the Senate decided that it had the authority to try him, and it did try him, and although a majority sought to remove him to convict him, they didn't get the two-thirds. But isn't that the 1876 case of William Belknap a solid precedent?
No, because we've never impeached a president because we always thought it would destroy and tear up the country and divide us further. The thing is when you look at impeaching the president, the Constitution has some very specific requirements. It says when the president is impeached, the Chief Justice shall preside. And to me, this was one of the shocking things when we showed up and we found out that, yes, Chuck Schumer had called Justice Roberts, and this hasn't been reported widely, but he did. And Justice Roberts said, heck no, I'm not coming across the street because you're not impeaching the president. This was a strong signal to all of us that this was going to be a partisan hearing with a Democrat in the chair who's already voted for impeachment. You think we're going to get any fair rulings out of a Democrat that's already expressed favor for impeaching him previously and is going to vote this time to impeach him?
There it is, so right there. So we'll leave it there with Rand Paul. Some balanced
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. Lifestyle expert and Bank of America spokesperson Gabrielle Flowers Rader shares tips to make Valentine's Day personally and financially rewarding.
There are plenty of ways to make Valentine's Day rewarding. I'm planning a day of crafting with my kids. A rewards credit card paired with a banking loyalty program maximizes the cash back you earn on your purchases. For example, the Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card offers 3% cash back from your choice of six spending categories that you can change each month. For February, I chose the online shopping category for my Valentine's-related spending on crafts for the kids. As a Bank of America Preferred Rewards member, I earn a credit card rewards bonus. Depending on their preferred rewards tier, members earn between 3.75% and 5.25% cash back with the cash rewards card for their purchases in the 3% category. That bonus is something to love all year round.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Bank of America member FDIC.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Indian rescue crews continue to search for trapped victims after part of a glacier in the Himalayas broke off Sunday morning that slammed into two hydroelectric plants. At least 9 people were killed and 140 were missing when the Nanda Devi Glacier snapped. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's corruption trial resumed on Monday, with his lawyers giving their formal response to the indictment. The trial resumes 43 days before Israel is due to hold its fourth election in 2 years. George Shultz, the U.S. Secretary of State who survived bitter infighting in President Ronald Reagan's administration to help forge a new era in American-Soviet relations and bring on the end of the Cold War, died Saturday at the age of 100 in Stanford, California. Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady won his 7th championship on Sunday in a dominating 31-9 performance against the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your call.
I gotta tell you, I'm encouraged that there is an American awakening taking place. I guess maybe there's been just enough fussing and fighting that we're realizing that we're not ending up where it is that we thought we should be. And this is why I believe a return to first principles is so critical. What are those first principles? If they're not bathed in our faith in God, our Constitution, our government, helping our fellow man, I mean, things that are noted in our U.S. Constitution. And we've had some nefarious forces and ideas that have come into the body politic that have been absolutely destructive. And I will say that as our guest, Joshua Mitchell, the professor from Georgetown, is going to be joining us here in just a second, as he writes, America has always been committed to the idea, I'd say for the most part, committed to the idea that citizens can work together to build a common world. Today, three afflictions keep us from pursuing that noble idea. The first and most obvious affliction is identity politics. Professor, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, identity politics has been a real divisive rod that has ignited and separated us as a people and has caused us to abandon those first principles that I keep referring to, that have us at each other's throat instead of realizing that we're on this journey together and we could be a complement to each other's goals and help each other accomplish those passions that we hold in our heart. But that seems to be, put on hold for the time being.
Well, you said it very well. In the book, what I do is I set up two possibilities. The politics of competence, which is what you've just beautifully described, where we all work together. We're different, but we work together because we've got a common project. It's called making a country wonderful, great, and producing well-being. But the other alternative is what I call the identity politics of innocence and transgression. And the people who are practicing that aren't interested in building anything. They're interested only in separating the pure from the impure. And the way that shows up increasingly is not simply attacking, for the moment, the white heterosexual male. There'll be other people they attack later. Mm-hmm. But also, as you point out, undermining and just calling out and claiming that that the founding principles of America are full of stain. And, of course, if they're stained, then you have to get rid of them. So let's throw out the Constitution. Let's throw out market commerce. Let's throw out our families because they're sick. Let's throw out our Christianity because it's sick. The project of identity politics of innocence is no less than to destroy everything that's not absolutely pure. And because nothing is absolutely pure, it's a deeply destructive politics.
And so we do know this, if we stop for just a moment. Okay, so you want to replace it. What do you want to replace it with? You know, we had a former president said that he was going to fundamentally transform America. And my question when he made that statement was, transform us to what? What is the exchange here?
Well, the hope is to build a utopian world. And this is why I think we really have to keep in mind the concepts of purity and stain. They never specify exactly what it is, but they're very clear about what it isn't, namely anything that is in the least bit stained. So if you look at the major agenda items of the Democratic Party today, let's just go through them. It's against the nations. It's against capitalism. It's against dirty fossil fuels. It's against the family. It's against national borders. You know, if you look at all of those achievements, and they're fantastic achievements, they were largely produced by Western European and Anglo-American peoples, who, by the way, were very divided. They weren't simply white. They were very divided. They went to war in the 20th century, let's remember, and 100 million people died. So it's not such unity as white. But every single major Democratic Party action item is attempting to undo what the, quote, white heterosexual male did. And there's some vague talk about socialism. And I'd like to say equality, but it's not equality. It's called equity now, which doesn't mean equality. It means getting even and revenge.
Mm. Yes.
So there's no real constructive project. And that's the problem. That's why identity politics is not forward looking. It's backward looking. It's constantly trying to rewrite the history books to say, look at your past. You're irredeemably stained. And here's the interesting thing. It offers a way of finding atonement. The only way that you can find atonement and repentance, if you are guilty of these thought crimes, is to renounce the family, to renounce your churches, to renounce the Constitution, to renounce America. And very quickly, what I argue is that this is a deep deformation of Christianity. Because with Christianity, there's purity and stain, irredeemable stain, original sin, etc. But the Christian understands that the only way to directly address this problem is in your relationship with God.
Amen.
Because God alone offers forgiveness, and God alone understands the depth of your stain, and there's atonement and repentance. But if you keep the Christian categories of innocence and transgression, but get rid of the Christian mechanism for redeeming and rebuilding and forgiving, then you get this identity politics, which gives nobody an out except to renounce all the institutions that we all know we need to have in order to build a world.
You know, what they have done, Professor, has taken a natural mechanism that is built in and designed by God into all his creation. And this is this idea that draws us back to God. And what they have done is they've hijacked that and basically put in a detour and said, you don't need to go to God, without saying you don't need to go to God. Because now they've put themselves in preeminent position to deviate the route back to God and to direct it towards them. Now, in history, when we've seen that occur, we end up seeing all kinds of atrocities and things that you know, left to our own devices, our own human creativity can be used for bad and evil. And we've seen this happen time and again. And this is what concerns me, is this yellow brick road that we're on right now, is that, Professor, we can only hope for an American awakening because... Go ahead.
This is exactly why I titled the book American Awakening. Well, as you might recall, we have had a couple of great awakenings in American history, 1760, the 1820s. And I call the book American Awakening because it's both a call to a real American awakening, and you've heard the phrase American awakening, I'm sure, woke capitalism, et cetera.
Right.
And I think what we have here, and you've said it very well, is that we have a kind of an aborted Christianity in the form of identity politics. They've taken over the priesthood, so to speak. They're the ones that are going to decide who's guilty, who's stained. And while we can and should continue to battle politically and defend candidates who defend America, I think it's also the case that the real rot here happens in the churches. That when the churches gave up on this, and I have a long section of the book about how the mainline Protestant churches just went soft in the 20th century. And so you go to mainline Protestant churches now, feeling good about yourself and supporting all these social justice causes. The purpose of the church is to help you think clearly about your brokenness and how God can help you heal yourself and what your obligations to your neighbor are after you have healed yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as you say, has been sidestepped. And now we have all the guilt, but none of the Christian mechanism to fix it, which is why, frankly, I'm increasingly of the mind, and I don't really say this in the book, but I'm of the mind that it's only by a return to the churches and calling out our pastors and priests who are involved, who are complicit in this deformation of Christianity, and returning to the Christian message, that we're going to have an antidote to this. Because make no mistake about it, this is a deformed Christianity. If I can say one more thing, this is why it's so much more dangerous than Marxism. Marxism attacked private property. People believe in private property in America. That's why Marxism took hold. The reason why this does take hold is because it touches, and you said it, it touches on the deepest understanding we have, namely that we're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and therefore we're all broken. And so this identity politics thing plays on that guilt.
Wow. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. 18 minutes before the top of the hour, Joshua Mitchell is with us. He's the professor of politics at Georgetown University. And we'll talk more about his new book, The Awakening of America.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 30-year fixed rate at 2.5 with a 2.51% APR with no lender fees. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.5 with a 2.51% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. Again, that's a 30-year fixed at 2.5 with a 2.51% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Financial Industry Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, I know you realize, we're in a mess. I mean, seriously, this country is in a serious mess. And I know one of the questions I get asked repeatedly outside of the radio show is, Bill, you know, what can we do about it? Well, first of all, I think we have to be honest with the mess that we're in. And Joshua Mitchell, the professor from Georgetown University, is with us. And his book, boy, I'll tell you, it couldn't have come at a more opportune time. And is one that I highly encourage you to get your hands on and read what he's calling for in American Awakening, Identity, Politics, and Other Afflictions of Our Time. Joshua, before we went to break, you started to talk about how the church has failed. The church is an institution, and it's amazing. It's like I see these dominoes of all these institutions, whether it's politics and within the political forces themselves, our judiciary, legislative branch, executive branch, these dominoes are falling, and it's like they're toppling because the foundation has been compromised, and the church, and I want to open that up a little bit more about how the church has failed its constituency and has really added to what we're dealing with right now. Instead of, you know, adding to the solution, they've added to the problem.
If you drive by churches today, you will see signs in the front yard like Black Lives Matter or rainbow flags. And I want to be very clear, we have big challenges in our country, and I think we should address them in serious ways. But the churches have given up. They gave up really, I think, after World War II. The great 20th century theologian Reinhold Niebuhr spent all of his life trying to return Protestant churches to the idea of original sin. At the end of his life, he said it failed. And my argument is we're always going to need some way of understanding sin and transgression. And when it wasn't provided for by the churches, then it moved out into politics. And that's what identity politics is. It's the emigration of the idea of stain and transgression into our politics. And the deepest thing we must do, since, as you point out, religion is the foundation of every civilization. All the institutions ultimately rest on the form of the kind of character that's formed by our religious institutions. And so I think what we need to do, among other things, is to call out our priests and preachers. We don't have to stand up in the middle of their sermons. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to require backbone from people who understand that they're getting a watered-down, distorted, cancerous message in the churches of America today. For us and for our salvation, he came down into the world, meaning we were broken. Mm-hmm. And it was because of God's good grace through his son that we found a path to redemption. Christianity understands that the problem of man is so deep that there had to be a divine scapegoat who takes away the sins of the world. Right. Identity politics still believes in a scapegoat, but it's not a divine scapegoat. It's a mortal one. For the moment, it's the white heterosexual male, and I have no interest as a Christian in defending racial politics. But I'm saying what Christianity understood was that only a divine scapegoat could take upon the sins of the world, and identity politics chooses an imminent one, that is to say, one in the world of time. And the only antidote to it is for alert Christians to tell people who believe that they have made a serious error. And the only way to get rid of sin is through God the Son. That is the only way to get rid of sin. Exactly. So we have big work to do in our church.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you think about this, going back in history, what did the children of Israel have to do before Jesus? They had to continue the series of sacrifices. Somebody is always, or something is always on the altar to repent and to pay the price for our sins until Jesus, the perfect ultimate sacrifice. And so what we want to do is take Jesus down from the cross and go back and do it our way. And in this particular case with identity politics, we're not sacrificing, you know, goats and sheep. We're sacrificing humanity.
Yeah. So this is, I love what you've just said. I mean, you're rehearsing what you get in the letter to the Hebrews. So yes. Once we sacrificed animals, now we have one sufficient sacrifice. And my argument is when Christianity starts to wane, we don't get a secular world. We get the return to the sacrifice of animals. We get the return to the pagan world. And so that's what's happening, is we are returning to pre-Christian ideas. And it's only by a return to the profound Christian understanding that there's one sufficient scapegoat, a divine scapegoat who can take away the sins of the world. And only when we have that understanding are we going to be able to do what you suggest and what I suggest too, which is build a world where we're not looking at each other as potential scapegoats and sacrificial offerings, because we believe the sacrifice has been done for us. And therefore, we can put all that aside and we can build a world together. But if you get rid of the one sufficient sacrifice, then we're going to return to the pagan idea that the task of human life is to figure out who's pure and who's stained and to purge the impure ones. I mean, the term toxic masculinity is so very telling. We're supposed to purge toxins from the body social. And if you look at all the words that are used today by the left, fascist, homophobe, transphobe, misogynist, Islamophobe, hater, denier, and more recently, insurrectionist. These are not words designed to have a conversation with another person about. These are words intended to scapegoat and to purge. So we're returning to exactly what you've identified in the book of Hebrews before there was the one sufficient sacrifice.
Exactly. We're talking with Professor of Politics at Georgetown University, Joshua Mitchell. His new book, American Awakening, Identity Politics, Other Afflictions of Our Time. You know, often I hear people say, well, we need a revival. But there's a critical step that happens before revival, and that is a turning away from the common culture ways that have offered the exchange of a new God. You know, here's your new God that you need to adore, this God of identity politics and, you know, all this racial injustice and everything, you know, that is supposedly going to cure the ills. But there's never been a political force in the history of man that has cured all the political ills, has there been?
No, there hasn't. So the question I always ask people who defend identity politics is, how is that working for you?
Yes.
Because if they're honest, what they'll say is, well, I feel good when I scapegoat another person, but I go to sleep at night and I still feel this profound guilt. And still they double down on it. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the prodigal son who leaves his father's home, tries to make it on his own without the father. We know the metaphorical meaning of that. hangs out with the pigs, but then the most beautiful part of the story, the most informative part, is that he doesn't return home until he's feeding on the husks of the pig corn, not even eating pig corn, eating the husks of the pig corn. And what that tells us is that man is a kind of creature who's really not going to turn around until he realizes there is no nourishment here. And so I think the question we have to ask in good faith of all the people who identify with identity politics is, how is that working for you? Aren't you really feeding on pig corn, feeding on the husks of corn? Where is the real nourishment here? That's what we have to ask.
That's brilliantly said. That is just brilliant. Exactly. There's no nourishment. Where's the banquet table? There's no banquet table here. It's empty.
Yeah, and which means we have to add one more thing. Because they're starving, they're going to throw more sacrifices on. They're going to do more and more and more, but it's still not going to solve the problem. So this is going to escalate and get much uglier than it even is today. And then maybe a number of them will wake up and say, this is not the course we're supposed to take to solve the problem of staying in the world. But remember, human beings are going to feed on the husks of corn before they turn around.
That's our sad future. But it's the nature of man, isn't it?
Yes,
that we see things according to our own eyes. We start creating our own gods, our own towers of Babel, and until we realize the hollowness of it all, the non-nutritional value of the choices that we make, because God, in His incredible brilliance, put in some ready-made boundary lines. We can fight the law of gravity. And I tell people, I say, yeah, you think the law of gravity, go ahead and fight it. And then you hit the ground and realize the law of gravity still exists. And the other one that comes back to me time and again, Professor, is that God said, first of all, He's not going to be mocked. After everything is all said and done, I mean, this right now is a mocking of God that's taking place in America and around the world. And the final answer is, you are going to reap what you have sown.
Right. I will say that for the last 10, 15, maybe even 20 years, I've been holding my breath more and more and more as I see the ongoing assertion that we can live without the resources that have been given to us through the Bible. Right. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not sure if it's going to be one day of reckoning or generations of agony. But we're here in this place. It happened since Adam. And I think what we have to figure out is, how do we live in it? And I think we can never lose hope and faith. We have to understand that this, too, is part of the agony of human history. But as St. Augustine says, the fire that burns the chaff, purifies the gold. Mm. And all of us now are at this moment where there's going to be even more agony, and we have to decide whether we're going to be deepened by this, our faith is going to be deepened, and we are going to understand more deeply than other people who are still feeding on husks of corn where we need to go, and of course they won't listen. This is going to be a really difficult period. I don't know how long it will be, but we began to give up on this a long time ago. I mean, you could argue that it's been a couple of hundred years since the Enlightenment, when what happened really was philosophers, they really stole from Christianity.
Professor, we got to leave it there. Joshua Mitchell, thank you for being with us.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock XD?